Well, if you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles now to the 126th Psalm, the 126th Psalm. This morning, I want us to focus on the theme of return or returning to the Lord. And I've titled this morning's message, A Joyful Return to the Lord. Now, it's no secret that there are times in a believer's life when he or she, for whatever reason, goes back to a lower state of commitment and dedication to Christ. You know, some have drifted for days, some for weeks, some for months, and others have drifted away from the Lord in their hearts for much, much longer. You know, there are those that have drifted back to previous attitudes, previous behaviors, previous ways of thinking, habits that just clearly are not fitting for the child of God. And if this sounds like any of you, well, I have good news. The Lord is here and he desires to draw you back. He loves you. And you need to be reminded that he loves you. And I'm also urged by the word of God to say to you, quoting what the prophet said, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, therefore say to them, notice, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. You perhaps caught the triple repetition where it says, that is the Lord speaking, says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts, return to me and I will return to you. I couldn't help but think of the triple repetition and think about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, saying to those who need to come back, need to return, return to me, and I will return to you. And God is so faithful. He is so faithful to his word, but he does expect his children that have drifted away to make that first move. Also quoting what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9, the latter part of the verse, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Isn't that encouraging? And then one last scripture. This is the Lord speaking, reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. Listen to this. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. Listen, return to me. Listen, for I have redeemed you. In other words, I purchased you with my blood. You belong to me. You're mine. I have forgiven you. You have drifted. Remember, I redeemed you, and I want you to return. Now, the 126th Psalm recounts a time in the history of Israel, when they, as the children of God, returned to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them out of their Babylonian captivity and brought them back to their homeland. Now, the scriptures tell us that the children of God went into captivity because of their evil ways and their evil doings. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 25 tells us this. They went after other gods and served and worshiped them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. I believe it's 2 Chronicles in the last chapter. That book also tells us of some of the things that they did. It tells us how God, he sent messengers to the children of Israel before they had gone into captivity as a punishment, because God chastens those that he loves. And when the messengers came, the prophets came to them to warn them to change their evil ways, to come back, to return to the Lord. They mocked the prophets. They wouldn't listen to the word of the Lord. They rejected his message. And this provoked God to anger. And it brought upon them punishment. And they were in captivity under the Babylonians for 70 years. 70 years. Their drifting set them back for 70 years. Now, the Lord was faithful, and he said, because they would not listen to them, they would go into punishment, into, if you would, captivity under the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were wicked people and treated them very harshly. And God often in the Old Testament would bring other nations to come and discipline his people when they had drifted away from him. And at some point, during that time, the hearts of the children of God began to return to the Lord. Now, he had said that after 70 years, he would bring them back. And he was faithful to his word to bring them back. But I'm almost certain that their hearts started to come back before they were brought back. But God, being faithful to his word, after 170 years of captivity, brought them back to their own land. Now, the 126th Psalm is a song that was written to remember this experience. Let's go ahead and let's read the psalm, and then we'll pray. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, another name for Jerusalem. Notice, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's take a minute. Let's pause. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. You love your children. And when we, your children, go astray, when we go back to old habits, when we rebel against you from our hearts or in our hearts, you are gracious and you give us time. You give us time to repent, but then there comes a time, because of love, you chasten. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today who, in their hearts, they have drifted from you. And no one maybe on the outside would know it, but they know it. I pray, God, that as your word is going forth, that it would be accompanied by the ministry of your Holy Spirit, and that you, Holy Spirit, would bring that conviction, would bring that sense that when there's repentance that takes place, when there is the returning that takes place from the heart, when one of your children return, even as you have bid, that they would sense mercy, they would sense your love, they would sense your support. And God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your children. We thank you for your presence here with us. Do that work that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there are four things that a child of God can expect when they return to the Lord. If you're a note taker, you might want to jot these four things down. I'll give you a minute to prepare before I share these things with you. I just want you to know that there is two parts to this service. The first part is connected with communion. It'll be shorter. It'll be to the point. I'm sure many of you would appreciate that. The second part, there's something very personal, and yet not only is it very personal, that is that this scripture has some very personal comfort and reminders, but also I wanted to share how it also, I'm going to connect it with just some of the history of our fellowship. Some of you maybe have no idea how the church started. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because yesterday was a double anniversary, a very special day for us and for our history. And as the psalmist reminisces and commemorates and remembers their history, we see that pattern in Scripture. I believe, too, that it's important for us as a church and as individuals to remember the great things that God has done for us. And so that'll be the second part. We'll be talking about the great things that God has done for us as a church. Now, I want to go back. This is a psalm that is identified as a song of ascent. That word means climbs or steps. And this is one of 15 psalms of ascent. These were the psalms that the nation of Israel and those that would be making a during the critical or the important feast days in their history, the Passover, Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, they would sing these psalms, and they would go in caravans and groups of people singing and worshiping and reminding themselves of the things that God had done in their past and in their history. And it's a song of ascent because they would ascend. They would go up. Jerusalem was always up. No matter what direction you are in Israel, to go to Jerusalem, to go to the house of God, to worship in the temple, you're always going up. And saints, that's what God desires for us as we are going upward. That's heaven bound. Every child of God through faith in Christ is going heaven bound. We're going up. And God desires that we practically would be taking steps higher, so to speak, taking steps towards growth and ascending in our journey of faith, growing in our love and our devotion and our commitment to Christ until that day that we are in his presence where he calls us home. But sometimes on the journey, some of us know all too well that it's easy to drift, whether it's for a short time or whether it's for a long time. I know personally there's times when I drift. I hate it. I don't want to be the way that I am. But there are times when I get into my days of funks. Sometimes weeks. And I have to really seek the Lord and pray. And I appreciate messages like this. And I'll seek messages that encourage me to get back on track. This is one of those messages. To help those that have drifted for whatever reason. to return to the Lord. Now, I mentioned that there are four things that a child of God can expect when they return to the Lord. So if you're a note taker, the first thing is this. The child of God, when he or she returns to the Lord, their joy comes back. Their joy returns. I'll tell you from my own personal experience, and even from when we read the words of the psalmist here, there's nothing worse than being drifted in your heart from the Lord. When you're not really in fellowship with the Lord, you lose your joy. You forfeit your joy. You know too much of the truth to enjoy living a drifted life. And so misery sets in. And the only one that can truly satisfy the soul is that personal devotion to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that can bring us the joy that none of the things of this world can bring. And so when we return to the Lord, we can expect our joy to return. Here, the psalmist said in verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Notice, we were like those who dreamed. They had been delivered. Their hearts returned to the Lord. God had said there was going to be consequences for their disobedience, but then he was faithful to bring them back. And when he did bring them back, when they were delivered from their captivity, delivered from their bondage, it was hard for them to believe. It was like a dream, the way they explain it. It's like, this is too good to be true. I can't believe God is so merciful. After what we've done and what we've brought upon ourselves, God has been so merciful. And he's bringing us back. He brought us back to our homeland. And in their minds, it was like, is this for real? This is amazing. And it tells us that joy was expressed with laughter and with singing. In verse 2, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Have you ever done something or witnessed something that's so profound it just makes you laugh? In a good sense? My wife and I recently, we went to go see the story of David at the... Thank you. And there was some things as that production was going forward, you just filled with joy. You're like, that's amazing. One of the things that ministered to me the most and brought so much joy to my soul. How many of you have seen it? Okay, this is just between us because I don't want to ruin it for anybody else. But do you remember when Jesus came to David, when David was on his dying bed, when he was dying? And Jesus came and brought him home. Man, and all the joy. You know, he was free from that body of death. And he was in the presence of the Lord. And there was so much rejoicing in heaven. And that made me laugh. That filled my heart with joy. You know, when God does great things and the promises, when we focus on them. And here, they were focusing on their past. They were reminiscing. Because they would sing these songs in those times when they would go up to worship the Lord, reminiscing of their past and remembering what God had done. It filled their hearts with joy, but especially for those people when God did deliver them, it filled their mouth with laughter and their tongue with joy. So you can expect when you return to the Lord, your joy to come back, the joy of salvation. The second thing, when a child of God returns to the Lord, there's a renewed appreciation for what the Lord has done for the individual. In verse 3, it tells us this, the Lord has done great things for us. And notice, and we are glad. Here the psalmist, he expresses just a renewed appreciation. You know, when was the last time you just stopped and thought about your history with the Lord? And some of the things that God has done for you, you know, that exercise, especially if you're going through a time of depression, maybe you're not distant from the Lord. You haven't drifted from the Lord. But sometimes we get depressed. We get discouraged. Remember the psalmist, David said, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in the Lord." He had to encourage himself. One of the greatest ways to encourage yourself is to reminisce on the good things that God has done in your past. I encourage you, maybe before today is over, take some time by yourself, some quiet time, and just start logging some of the good things that God has done for you. That has a way of lifting up your spirit and, again, bringing gladness to your soul. So the second thing is, when a child returns to the Lord, there is a renewed appreciation for what the Lord has done. The third thing, when a child returns to the Lord, notice, prayer of restoration become so important and even a priority. In verse 4, the psalmist says, "Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." Now notice, he says, "Bring back our captivity." I don't want you to think that there's a contradiction here, or that the psalmist is praying, "Bring us back into captivity." That would make no sense. Certainly that's not what is to be understood here. What he is saying, restore us back to our former place of prosperity, our former place of fruitfulness. Now, you have to remember, for them personally, after 70 years of being in captivity and their homeland being vacant, can you imagine what they came back to? And the work that they were facing, and practically all of the farming, the agricultural work, and also rebuilding the temple, rebuilding of the walls. And there was just so much that they were facing. Certainly, I wouldn't say that they lost their joy of deliverance. That was to be a sustaining joy. But when you're facing now hard work, or you're facing just a reminder of how things used to be, and how perhaps those years, those 7 years, there was just a waste. It was such a setback. They could have been so much further along, but because of their sin and disobedience, because of their drifting, they were so set back, and now they had to start all over. Those thoughts can be overwhelming. But the beautiful thing is that they conquered their thoughts with proper prayer. And he prayed, "Restore us. Restore us back to our formal fruitfulness. We want to be fruitful once again. We want to be prosperous once again. We want to be brought back to a place of wealth, a place of abundance, again, a place of fruitfulness." Now, the fourth thing, when a child of God returns to the Lord, they understand that they need to put feet to their prayers. You know, there are some saints that they just want God to do everything. And God does his part, no doubt. But God does require that his children do their part. The saints here of old, they were willing to put feet to their prayers. And not only feet to their prayers, but they encourage their own souls to do the work of war that would promote fruitfulness, that would promote prosperity. And you know, for us Christians, it brings God glory when we bear fruit. And Jesus says that he desires, the Father desires us to bear much fruit. God desires for us to be fruitful for his kingdom. Fruitful personally, spiritually full, spiritually fruitful. And then also advancing his kingdom. You know, look around. There's quite a few empty seats here. Take this seriously. What can you do to bring others into the house of God? Pray and ask God that he would give you opportunities to sow seeds of God's word into other people's lives. And invite people. I encourage you, be an individual that has like that Andrew ministry. Do you remember Andrew, one of the apostles of Christ? He would always bring people to Jesus. Bear fruit for the kingdom of God and encourage yourself to do so. Now, here, it says in verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. See, this sowing, you can look at it as putting the feet to prayers. The sowing, he says it again. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Sowing is our work, our responsibility. God, he gives us his word. He gives us this journey of faith. He gives us things. Matter of fact, you remember what Paul said to the Philippians when he said, hey, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we see that God works in us, but he does expect us to work what he works in us out. And not only do we have to become those prayers, we also need to encourage ourselves in the good work of sowing. He says again, those who sow in tears shall reap joy. It's almost like a word of encouragement. Yes, when you return to the Lord, there is work to do. Maybe there is getting back to reading the scriptures regularly, daily, getting back to praying fervently and humbling yourself before the Lord. Maybe for some, returning to the Lord means to get back into fellowship. It's so sad when we see how believers can go weeks, even months, without going to church or being in fellowship. And for some, it may be getting back to the work of evangelism. These are kind of the basic things that keep us connected with the Lord, because it requires us and it causes us to trust him. As we expose ourselves to God's word, we get convicted. When we're in the word consistently, when we're praying faithfully, when we're in fellowship consistently, and when we're telling others about Jesus. There's so many other things, but these things cannot be neglected. We need to sow into these things, if you will. And he says, it might be challenging, he who continually goes forth weeping. And sometimes there's weeping because of repentance and realizing, God, I can't believe that I've done what I've done. I can't believe that I've let this go so far. I can't believe I went back to doing that. God, I can't believe I've drifted the way that I've drifted. I've sinned against you and I've lost ground and I feel convicted. Those things take place. But he says, listen, he who continually goes forth weeping, notice, bearing seed for sowing, just moving forward in spite of how you feel, in spite of the emotions that you might be going through as conviction sets in. Look what he says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, the sheaves were bundle of wheat, and it represents abundance. In other words, you sow now, it might be hard now. It might be hard getting back on track. You might be thinking, yeah, but I'll have to give this up, or I'll have to change that. I'll have to start getting serious about this. I might have to confess to him, confess to her. I might have to just let that go and no longer hold bitterness and unforgiveness. I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can. And the Lord is calling you to return. You can, and remember what he says, you return to me, and what? I will return to you. I will help you. I will be there. I will help you. You know, when it comes to sowing and reaping, humanly speaking, we reap, don't we, so much more than we sow. I know my wife, Nina, she has planted some tomato seeds in this little, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, I'm not into that kind of stuff. But she just planted a few seeds, and those little cherry tomatoes, I'm into eating them. So many tomatoes came out of just a few seeds that she planted. And you know, that's how God is. We do our part. And in reality, it's little compared to all that God has done for us, the great things God has done for us. And yet God is so faithful, and he causes us to reap way more than we sow. You know, I wanted to share this scripture, not so much to be heavy, not so much to focus on negativity, but to look more on the positive side. We can't ignore the negative side, so we're going to read it. You could turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. We'll read 7, 8, and 9. We won't ignore the negative, but we will focus on the positive. Maybe during today's service, this was you. This message was for you. Maybe you're listening online, or you will be listening at some time, and you know this message was for you. And during our time here, the Holy Spirit has been putting his finger on something in your heart and bringing conviction. And you know that it's time to change. And you have been praying and saying, God, that's it. I'm done. I'm done being far from you. I'm returning. I'm returning. And there will be those challenges. And maybe even now you're thinking, And now concern is coming into your heart because of wanting to get right. But I tell you that if you return to the Lord, he promises he'll return and help you. But notice what the scripture says. If you're ready to make that commitment, don't turn back. And verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6, 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But notice this. Here's the good news. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then Paul, he says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.